Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Golden Girls 911 Stories. I'm Trudy Henry, and I'm so excited to be here.
I'm Anessa Westmoreland. I'm excited to be here, too. Join us as we talk about our experience as dispatchers, working in public safety, and so much more.
Feel free to subscribe to the Golden Girls 911 Stories wherever you listen to podcasts. Enjoy this episode.
Happy New Year!
Welcome back to another episode of Golden Girls 911 Stories. We took an extended holiday break from the podcast, but now we are back and ready to talk all things 911. Today, we are going to talk about working as a 911 operator through inclement weather conditions.
We've had some of that lately, haven't we?
We have. We've had a surprise tornado.
We did. And we've had some, we were supposed to have snow. We did have snow, but we didn't have ice and stuff.
So. Right. It was a good kind of snow. Yes. Not a lot, though.
It didn't stick.
So I guess the first thing we should talk about and let y'all know is kind of the boring stuff. Basically, at the 911 center, we set off the weather sirens throughout the county. So every Wednesday at noon, you probably hear the weather sirens going off. We do that to test them to make sure that they will activate in the event of inclement weather, tornado, thunderstorms.
But who manages those?
So... good question, Anessa. EMA.
So what is EMA?
EMA is the Emergency Management Agency. They service Newton County, and EMA oversees the functioning and the operation of the weather sirens. Yes. They're responsible for making sure they work, and they're responsible for making sure that they are in areas where people can hear them. Yes. A heavy population can hear them. So in addition
to the test...
So I work with them each week and notify them of where we can and where we can't hear sirens. And if they can't be heard, they work to see about getting those fixed. Where the tornado was, kind of over on the west part of the county in the area of Brown Bridge and Salem Road, I saw some social media posts where they didn't hear the sirens, but the sirens had been tested and the sirens were working. The only catch that day was we were not notified of severe weather.
No.
So there was no alert that we could send out. Once we received the first 911 call saying that a tornado was in the area, that is when the 911 operator set off those sirens. So we receive our notifications about severe weather from the National Weather Service out of Atlanta, Peachtree City.
And on that day, since we didn't receive anything and we didn't know what the possible path could be, or where it was going, we just set off all sirens because we knew that that meant obviously conditions were favorable for severe weather and tornado warnings because we had had one spotted and had actually touched down. So we went ahead and just set them off. Normally, we would set, if we know about them, we'll set them off, I guess, in the area. And if it moves
in the path of the storm.
Path of the storm based on what we get from the National Weather Service. But on that day, we just set them all off because we weren't notified and we didn't know. And that's the thing, is it's everyone should know that weather is not always predictable, even though we have, you know, they have meteorologists that look at the weather and they give a hypothesis of what they think could happen and they tell you it could happen. But we all have been told before, you know, there's going to be snow, there's going to be this or that, and it doesn't happen. Or you don't even know it's going to snow and it does. Stuff like that. So we just need to... we're just explaining all this so everyone understands the process of how it works for 911 to explain it, because it's not something that people talk about a lot and they just assume things and just assume it's supposed to work a certain way.
So that's kind of how the sirens work. We set them off and just test them, and we call around to make sure people hear them. We have people at different locations that, you know, listen out for them on Wednesdays. And so that's kind of just, that's what 911 does. And just to clear it up with everybody, you know, I get a little confused sometimes. A tornado watch is you need to be prepared. You know, conditions are favorable for a tornado. And a tornado warning means take action. There's been a tornado spotted. So we will set off those sirens for a tornado warning. So if you ever hear the sirens going off, it's because there is something in the area that someone has seen or the weather service has reported.
So like Trudy was saying, we do the test Wednesday. Or when we set off the sirens on December 31st, 2021, if you didn't hear them when we did set them off, there are other ways that you can be notified. The Code Red app is an app that you can download on your phone, and that is managed by Newton County EMA, and they pay for the service, and all alerts go through there on the app. So you can have that app and be notified. So if you don't hear the sirens, or sometimes maybe if we didn't receive the notification, you might would be notified first. I'm not sure. And then there's also some other resources. Ready.gov, there's resources how you can make sure your family's prepared for emergency situations and weather conditions. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, back to the Code Red app, you can use it as an app on your phone, or you can also have notifications sent to your telephone, like you would receive a phone call where they give you the notification. So if you had a phone at home and you wanted to make sure people at home were notified when you went there, they could also call the house and make that, they would get that message that, severe weather's in your area, whatever the weather may be.
I guess you could set up your cell phone number too.
You can. I get it on my home phone, my cell phone, and I get like a text message alert.
Did you get an alert on the?
I did. But I had already received a phone call from someone in the area asking me what was going on. Well, they heard the sirens going off and they were asking me what was going on. And I had then called the 911 center to find out. And then I got the Code Red alert.
Yeah, because on that day, I think it was like a 15 or 16 minute delay from the time we received the call about the tornado touching down to the time that I received an alert on my phone. I think it was like 17:31 or something like that. And then the alert went out at 17:46, which is 5:31 p.m. and 5:46 p.m. if you don't know military time. So, but like we said, it's not a foolproof method, because if the meteorologists don't see it, or the weather can just change at any time. And that was during the time where we had been cold, and then it had been hot, and then it was back and forth. When you have those type of weather changes, that's when you get these things. Obviously, I'm not a meteorologist. Trudy's not a meteorologist. That's just from learned experience. But anytime you have these drastic weather changes, you can be on alert that something could change. You know, that's why a lot of times we've had, in that week earlier, we had had thunderstorms. But this was not reported and wasn't expected to be severe weather that day.
Yeah, so this weather is unpredictable and surprising. I remember working years ago, back in like 1995. It was late one night. I mean, it was a little rainy outside when we come to work. We come in at 11 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it was just like everything crashed. And when I say crashed, I mean, trees were falling on houses and alarms were going off all through the county and the city. And we were calling the captain at the police department saying, hey, what's going on? We have all these calls. And they're like, we're taking cover. We're in the basement at the police department. We don't know what's going on. Same thing at the sheriff's department. You know, we called the sergeant on the road at the sheriff's department. He's like, we're here. We're taking cover. He said, once everything passes, we'll go out and see what's going on. Except for one deputy. And there was one deputy on the road. And he answered calls. And he went to where people had trees on their houses. He just went to check on them. He couldn't answer calls in the sense of, we're going to handle this call. He just went to make sure people were okay, because, I mean, there were so many things happening. And it was just an awful, awful, awful experience. The phones were ringing off the hooks. And back then, we had computers, but we didn't use computers like we do today. We wrote everything on call cards. So we had these cards for fire and EMS that we filled out every time we had a fire and EMS call. We put all the information on these cards and we'd hand it to the fire and EMS dispatcher. So I just remember that there was three of us working. The girl running fire and EMS had so many calls. Her console was like, I mean, just cards just laid out flat, you know, in rows and columns all the way across the console. We were answering calls left and right. I mean, I was kind of wrapped up. I was running the Sheriff's Park radio, kind of busy in there. And I look over at the girl running fire and EMS again, and she had those call cards just all across. They were just lined up going across the floor. We couldn't even walk because there were so many calls. The radios went down. We lost radio communication, so we had to pull out the backup radio, which was never fun, which was basically one radio that two of us had to use for the sheriff's department and for the fire departments. And it was just, I mean, we were just so busy, and it was like we were too busy to call in help. And even if we were to call somebody, just because of the conditions outside, I don't know that people could have even got in at that point. Mm-hmm. But we were from midnight.
What time? Okay, I was going to say, what time was it?
It was a little before midnight because evening watch deputies were still working and they got off at midnight. So.
Well, they probably didn't get off.
No, he didn't. He like I said, there was this one and he worked all night long, just like, and like I said, he didn't answer calls. He just kind of went to these places to make sure people were okay. He was just checking on the welfare of the people who had severe damage to their houses. And I mean, it was great. Just, I mean, that night, just having him out there, it just made me feel better because everybody else was taking cover, but yet I was in a little tin building on top of the hill.
Yeah.
You know, we were stressed. Tension was high. We all needed help and we couldn't help each other. And so I think finally around 5:15, we had somebody from Day Watch come in about an hour early to help us
get called up. But y'all are probably already called up.
No, we weren't called up. We still had calls on. Yeah. It was terrible.
Well, y'all had to enter every one of those calls too.
Yeah.
And that's when the system used to go down for an hour at night and you had the backlog so you couldn't even keep up.
Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy night. I mean, I think that is probably one of the nights that just stand out in my head of being the busiest and the most overwhelming and just a lot. I mean, it was just a lot that night. I'll never forget all them cards laying in the floor.
Well, that's a good visual of it because, right now we have the CAD, which is a computer-aided dispatch. And so every call we take gets entered in the system. So when you have that, it's just you have to scroll through the screen. So you'll just have so many entries that to look at them, you just have to keep scrolling. So explaining the cards is, I mean, I can see it in my head. I wasn't there.
It was, and I mean, just the look on the other two dispatchers' faces. I mean, I don't know what mine looked like, but just looking at the other two, you know, it was just like, you know, they're scared. I should be scared too, because the one running fire and EMS was a senior dispatcher there. And she was just like so overwhelmed. And, you know, she's the one that we always went to for help at that point. Cause I was still fairly new. I mean, I had been there just around a year.
Well, Suzanne had only been there months, hadn't she?
Yeah. And so it was just, you know, she was cussing at people on the phone. And
that's what not to do.
You know, the same people, we had this one lady who kept calling and she was like, my front porch light is just flashing off and on. I don't know what's going on. Can an officer come over here and check on it? And so she had told her that, yeah, we'll have somebody come check. Don't know when it's going to be. We got a lot going on. So the lady kept calling back and calling back. And so after the fifth or sixth time of the lady calling, I mean, Suzanne just yelled at the lady and said, it is a hurricane.
The blank hurricane.
And I mean, you know, it was like, wow, something is really big happening for that to be heard across the room and for things. I mean, it was just so busy. I just can't explain it.
Well, and that we all worked with three. And so, I mean, I've worked several times when there's been bad weather. I don't remember besides, you know, this past December 31st. But I mean, we had bad weather where, you know, tornadoes touched down. But when you're at work where we're at, you're removed from the situation, even though you're actually sitting in the middle of it. So the units that respond are out in the field and they're out in it, but we're just stuck there to see the pictures of the damage later. It's amazing that you're just like, wow.
That happened?
Yeah. I mean, because you just don't even know because you don't see it, where like the units are in the field, they're driving around, they're seeing it as it happened. You know, a lot of times there are when the storm is actually coming through, because on December 31st, they were actually, once we put the calls out when we had that it had touched down, then we start hearing, you know, they start coming across and you have deputies and officers telling you, oh, it's over here, like they see it. And so you're just in your mind visualizing where it is. But there's really nothing you can do because you're stuck at work. And even the units in the field can't really do anything either because they're just waiting for, you're just waiting for it to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't prevent it. It's happening. So
it's coming whether you're ready or not.
Yeah. And even on the 31st with the technology we have now, and it happened right at shift change. So you had extra people coming in. It just still wasn't enough though. You know, so that's the thing,
it's not enough. But the thing too, for me in those situations is when you come in the middle of something mm-hmm. or at the end of something, there has to be that point to where the people working are actually like, okay, this is what's going on and I can explain it to you.
But you don't have a chance to.
Because in the midst of things and in the middle of it, you can't just hand over stuff. Mm-hmm. There's too much going on mm-hmm. and there's too much on the other side of that radio that you're responsible mm-hmm. for, the lives of these other people. Mm-hmm. And you've got to keep up with all of it. And it's hard to brief somebody mm-hmm. in a hectic, busy
moment. Well, when you can't because the phones are ringing. And so on that day, the people that came in, they just started answering phones. And so that was the easiest thing to do because I can't stop talking right now because I'm talking on the radio and I can't tell you what's happening. But they also can get logged in and see the screen and they know what's happening. It's just to get like any updates without looking at everything. That's basically what you pass on. Because that day they didn't even have a briefing. It was like, get in, jump in.
Answer these phones.
And these people drove in through the storm to get to work. I mean, that's the thing is they were, I mean, several of them said on the way in, they're like, oh my God, what? Look at the sky. It's black. And they mentioned like how creepy it was and how it looked outside. And then to come in and it's just like this phone's blowing up and constantly they're like, okay, well, I guess there's bad weather. You know, that's what it looked like. And so then they find out that the tornado had touched down and they're trying to get updated on everything. But it was just constant phones ringing. And even like I said, with updated technology, we have 8 positions. Phones. I mean, there were so many 911 calls ringing. I mean, I think some of them got dropped and you might have to call back. Because, I mean, you can only answer so many at a time. And we were answering them, getting the information and getting off and picking up the next call. You know, and that's one of the things is that and I would just, if I could say something to people, when you're, if you're a victim or you're, you know, a tree falls on your house, everyone's okay. But you have lines down. Yes, call it in. But also have patience because you're not the only one that tree might have affected or those lines might be down somewhere else. And we're getting multiple calls on that. And a public service announcement about if just say you don't see a line down and you don't see a tree, but your power is not working. That's not something you call 911 about because that's tying up the calls where they have a live wire. Where lines are down or someone is injured or a tree fell on the house and someone's actually injured inside. So stuff like that is what 911 is for, not to report power outages, other utility issues and stuff like that. So,
all right. Call your power company.
Yes. Yes. And most of those have a thing where you can track it on the app. I know Snap and Scholes has where you can report it on the app. And I think you can look and see if there's an outage on the app.
Yeah, you can. And it also, I want to say, it tells you kind of like the estimated time of when it's going to mm-hmm. be fixed.
And sometimes they set up a pre-recording if you call in and they'll tell you, if you listen to the recording to report an outage, they'll have that. And if you try to call and no one answers, be patient with them because usually that's only, even at the city and at the county, there's usually only one or two people maybe working at a time that are answering those phones. So just have patience. Because we understand that it's an emergency for you, but you're not the only one that could be suffering at that time.
Any other fun weather events you've worked? Mm-hmm. I do remember that morning that it was snowing when we got off work.
Yeah, that was fun.
And we played in the parking lot for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we did. That's not the day I wrecked my car.
Yes. And then we left there, and we all were going home to go to bed, and Anessa calls and says, I had a wreck.
And then the deputy responding to my wreck. His car flipped over too.
So that was a funny.
But on that night, I had asked. They had just checked the roads because we were about to leave, and so the deputies had just checked the area. So they iced over that fast from the time that he had checked them till the time we left because the weather dropped.
It changes and it's very unpredictable.
It is.
And we didn't. I mean, it's not like we were far from the 911 center. I mean, we were like 5 miles, yeah. less than 10. It's like 5 to 7 miles. Mm-hmm.
But it just happens that fast.
I mean, weather happens fast and it's scary. And, you know, I mean, through the years, there's been several tornadoes go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had several in Mansfield.
It seems like that track of Lackey Road and Morris Farm. Mansfield.
Mm-hmm. We had one on Flat Shoulder, but that's that same. I don't think we ever had one on Brown Bridge in Salem before.
No, I think that was the first one.
That I can remember, that, I mean, that I've been around, that I knew about.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I mean, you know, when you think back, it's like, no, we don't have that many tornadoes. But then when you really start sitting down and thinking about it, it's like, I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah, one tornado is too many for me.
Well, I think that, like, growing up, I always felt like, oh, we don't have tornadoes here, you know. And we never even had hurricanes either, but
I know.
Now we have hurricanes come through. Well, and the other thing is even though we're not exactly on the coast, we are a coastal state. So when there's a storm or a hurricane, we're going to get severe weather because we're a coastal state. So we have always had that, but actually having hurricanes come in, you know, inland in the past several years, we've had that several times, you know, where we're at and in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Main thing is to be prepared. Know when you call 911 the information that you need to tell us. And mainly, like I said, first thing is have patience. Number two, know where you're at. And as far as your location goes, a road that you're close to, which is what we call a cross street. So just because you live on Highway 81 and you tell us you live at 3281, I'm making this up, so sorry if this is somebody's address, but you live on 3281, Highway 81, well, we have Highway 81 South and we have Highway 81 North, and those numbers duplicate. So knowing what road you're close to helps. Most people who've lived here a long time will say they live on 81 North or 81 South, and, you know, we usually can help get them where they need, you know, get the help they need. But a lot of times if you're new here, you don't know that, so you need to know another road close to you. And like I said, patience, patience, patience. And even travel on I-20 if you go out of town or whatever interstate you're on. Pay attention to your location.
It's always important to know where you are because you don't know what's going to happen. And, yes. You know, being a dispatcher, taking a call where somebody's just like, I'm on I-20. And it's like, well, where are you at on I-20? Well, I don't know. I don't see anything. You know, you're kind of stranded. You're scared. And, I mean, of course, you know, I mean, we have some areas on I-20 to where it's just woods. I mean, mm-hmm. there's nothing. There's no road lines. There's no markers. There's nothing. And so it's just, I mean, it's really important. And not just in Newton County, but anywhere you go to have an idea of where you are and what's the last thing you passed. I mean, even mm-hmm. if it's a, you know, you've seen a restaurant or a sign,
mm-hmm.
it's just important to keep those things in mind as you're going down the road.
Because if something was to happen, you never know, like somebody could have a medical condition while they're driving, or, you know, a tree could fall in the middle of the road.
Something, a deer.
Yeah. Something could hit your car. And if you don't know where you are, I mean, we do have technology, but you can't always count on technology because sometimes with 911, even though it plots your location, it's not always 100% accurate. And so a lot of times we're playing a guessing game trying to see exactly where you are or the last thing that you passed to try to help you. And the faster we get your location is the faster we can get help to you. So that's just a word of advice.
And there's a chance technology can always fail.
Yes. Thank you.
So be smart. Be mindful of where you are.
Yes.
Know what to do in a tornado. Know what to do in severe weather.
And know where you can find the resources you need that we talked about earlier. So
I guess that's a wrap.
It is.
For another episode of the Golden Girl 911 Stories. Thanks for listening. Have a question about 911? Email us your question to ask911@covington-newton911.com. That's ask911@covington-newton911.com. And follow us on Instagram at GoldenGirls911Stories. Talk to y'all next time.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for listening. It was such a pleasure to come together to produce this episode today. This episode was produced by Jessica Swan, Anessa Westmoreland, and myself, Trudy Henry. The episode was edited by Jessica Swan.
And of course, don't forget to subscribe to Golden Girls 911 Stories on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.